On this week's episode, we give the sexual revolution a kick in the pants.
Welcome to the Dramatic Illusion Podcast. We are your hosts, Lorraine.
And I'm Amanda.
And we are going to talk about a transgender woman that was born in the late 20s, I believe. And she is known as being a pioneer or one of the starters of the sexual revolution, as it were.
Awesome. I'm ready to hear about it.
Yeah, it was actually really interesting. I kind of stumbled across it a couple of months ago, and I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to write this down because this is going to be a good topic. Very, very interesting.
Nice.
So before all of that gets started, what's the most dramatic thing you've done? Anything?
Oh, well, you know, I like to live in constant drama. So to narrow it down, probably turning my phone off for a day and a half and sleeping. Because I just needed to cancel out all the noise from whatever the fuck the planets are doing these days.
Oh, jeez. I feel you on that.
Yeah. Just needed a recharger, I suppose.
Yeah. I don't know. We all need a soft reset every once in a while.
Oh, I had to do like a full fucking Big Sur reset on myself, that's for sure.
Oh, God. Great.
Yeah. So that's not dramatic or anything. I don't mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know what is.
Right. Exactly. How about you? What was the most dramatic thing you did this week?
Oh, my God, dude.
You ride another camel or?
No. I wish. That would have been super fucking cool. 2 weeks in a row. What? No. So as you know, my grandma passed away. So I went to her funeral up in Ohio this past weekend. And so I'm not going to say any names because I don't really know this person in particular, but we did a celebration of life instead of the traditional funeral and stuff. We rented a hall and we had food, you know, and all the relatives came. It was very, very nice. But then afterwards, there was a fire at my mom's. Well, my grandma's old place. And so a bunch of people came over. We ate the rest of the leftovers and we had some drinks. We had a huge fire and I'm making mojitos, you know, from scratch. Cause my grandma's garden, she had tons of mint in her garden. It like overtook everything.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm like, girl, I'm capitalizing on this before my brother mows it all down.
Yeah. No
so
kidding.
I'm making these mojitos, right? And all of a sudden, somebody, one of my sister's friends, whatever, comes in and says, hey, have you seen this container? I put it in the freezer. I'm like, no, I haven't opened up the freezer. So he opens up the freezer and he's looking through the ice machine, like where the ice goes in.
Right.
I'm like, I've been using that to put ice in drinks for the mojitos I'm making.
Oh, God. And all you think of Cecil Hotel shit. That's all I'm going through my head right now.
No one's hand got mutilated or anything.
Okay, good.
The container got jammed in there. And it's glass. And I'm thinking to myself, you cannot differentiate between glass and the fucking ice that's in there, right?
Oh,
so
God.
the ice all of a sudden stops coming out, and I know what that means. It's that fucking container.
Oh my God.
So we, instead of unscrewing it and everything, I'm like, how big is this container, right? How big is it? So I press the ice button thinking it's just going to come out because I didn't have it on the crushed mode. It was on like all ice cubes.
Right.
That fucking ice machine grinded that thing to a bloody pulp. I mean, if anybody needs a refrigerator, I'm going to have to ask my mom what kind that is because it ground up thick-ass glass. It'll grind up anything. So this person was all bummed out. Oh, my container. I said, there's frozen peas. There's a cooler outside with ice in it. There's another bag of ice outside. You could have put it in any one of these things. You put it in the fucking ice maker.
Right. What? I'm still like baffled by why that would have been the first choice.
Right. Like, come on, dude. Are you serious? So stupid. So, you know, I'm in there and I'm digging my hands in there and I put jewels on my fingers, you know, on my nails. And they're in the ice maker too somewhere. Who the fuck knows?
Oh, like, my, oh God. My God. A festival of shit that's not supposed to be in the ice maker.
Bro, just, I'm like, Ma, don't use the ice maker. She's like, why? I'm like, X, Y, and Z. She's like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Right. Just got to let it run a couple of cycles, you know? Like,
I was like, put some hot water in there.
Run Big Sur once. Get that going.
Right.
Get it all cleansed out.
So that was the drama that happened with the ice maker.
Jeez. No thanks. Just throw the whole fridge away.
No way, man. That thing grinds up anything, shit.
Right. You might need that. You never know.
Right. So I want to say a couple things again before we start this episode. We have some pretty awesome things in the works. And next month, I believe it is, we may or may not be doing a live podcast.
Or we may. I'm like, or we may. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited also.
Yeah. It's going to be a continuation of Pride, although it's in July. We're going to Fort Wayne Pride Festival.
Yeah. Fort Wayne, Indiana. So if you guys are local or you're going to stop by, come check us out, you know, hang out with us, grab a drink, whatever. Chill. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Come talk to us. And we're going to have some merch available. I think that's the first actual time we're going to sell merchandise.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that.
I am too, because you know a bitch loves a good big sweatshirt. And I know it's going to be summer, but them nights get chilly sometimes and you got to snuggle up. And you know me in a big old sweatshirt. I love it.
Absolutely.
So, without further ado, we're going to talk about Christine Jorgensen. Yeah. Awesome. Say that name. So she was a man at birth. Her name was George William Jorgensen. And he was born May 30th, 1926, in the Bronx, New York. Now, at a very young age, she knew that she was born in the wrong gender. She was always really, really fascinated almost with her sister's clothing and the dolls that she played with and just the things that she got to be, you know, involved with just because she was a girl. And not only that, but the boys at school made fun of her quite often because of her size and being interested in more dainty things. So, smaller in stature, skinny, scrawny, I guess you would say. But, you know, she knew from a very, very young age that she was meant to be her, if right. That makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
So her sister would even join in on, like, ridiculing her and telling her that she wasn't normal and that, you know, people that you get teased if you're not, quote-unquote, normal. I mean, it's 1926.
I can't even imagine. I mean, it was bad enough when we were growing up. Like, kids are fucking cruel.
I know. Still to this damn day. But, you know. Yeah. They're getting better, I guess.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
I don't have no damn kids. Fuck, I don't know.
Right. One day maybe they'll, you know, calm down. No. But I doubt it. I think it's just a like part of growing up, unfortunately.
Yeah, I just like to borrow kids and give them back, you know. I mean, not to say that I'm borrowing them from, like, malls and shit.
Right. Were you scooping them up? Like,
No. you know, like relatives. You want to drop them off for a little bit, go have a date night. That's fine.
Just make sure to pick them up when you're done.
I'm not scoping them out anywhere. So anyways.
Glad you clarified that one.
Right. So here's the first quote that I've seen. In her youth, she sat down with her mother and asked her, and this is a quote, "Mom, why didn't God make everyone alike?" And her mother is quoted saying, "The world needed both men and women, and there was no way of knowing before the baby was born if it was a boy or a girl." So that's a kind of a good way to explain it to someone of that young of an age, just so that they didn't feel so excluded, you know?
Right.
And their family dynamic was super close. I mean, her grandmother was her biggest supporter of all time.
Really? Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely good to hear.
Her grandmother stood by her 100% when Jorgensen finally decided to open up and say, you know, "I don't feel like I was born the right gender. And I really want to open up and confide in somebody." And grandma 100% backed her up.
Nice. Yes, grandma. Hell yeah.
So when she started developing a liking to her male friends in school, she knew that she wasn't gay, but was a female trapped in a man's body. And I can't relate to that. I have no idea how it feels to feel that way. Not so much feeling left out, because adolescence is just a hodgepodge of, you know, bullshittery, I guess is the best way to describe it. You don't know what the fuck you want. But that has to be really, really confusing, more so than, you know, you're going through puberty and you're trying to figure out who you are. And then, oh, well, I'm not normal like everyone else. I don't understand why I have these feelings and other people don't. It's like, it's got to be taxing.
Yeah, or to just, I mean, I can't understand. I don't know how to relate to it completely either. Just to feel like you aren't, that your skin is not yours, or, you know what I mean? It breaks my heart, but it's gotta be it has to be terrifying. It has to be like on a plethora of feelings. I can't even put it into words, I guess, because it's so complex. I don't know, but my heart, like, reaches out to the people that go through that and that, you know, are just going through the whole thing, the whole journey, the whole fight, all of it.
Right. So at this point in high school, that's the turning point in deciding to consider gender reassignment surgery. And, you know, this doesn't actually come to the forefront for quite a while, but it's at this point where she decides, this is who I'm not meant to be. I know I'm meant to be somebody else. So in 1945, Jorgensen was drafted into the army and was a clerk at Fort Dix. So he was smaller built. He was a smaller built man at the time and always knew that he was destined to make the change to be the person he felt like on the inside. And soon after he was discharged from the military, he decided to become the person he always knew he was, which is she, her. So after this point, she expressed to people the need that she had to feel like she belonged somewhere, and the need that she wanted her parents to approve of, you know, and be proud of what she was doing. So that's why she ended up trying to go to the military directly out of high school. Because one, she didn't feel like she belonged there because of just the way that she was going through the motions. Then when she tried to get into the army, they said no because she was so small. She wasn't physically built to be in the army. But then the draft happened, and anybody who was male at the time, they had to go into the army, so they had to find a spot.
Right, no choice.
So it's like, you couldn't go because you wanted to go for reasons, but you had to go. So it's like bittersweet almost.
Yeah.
So during the time in the army, trying to keep the attraction to other males a secret, she said, was so difficult. But of course she did a fantastic job at doing so. Because an article I read on the National World War II Museum website about Jorgensen. This is prime time where gay and lesbian veterans and people currently enlisted were being stripped of all their medals and subsequently discharged just because of them being in love or attracted to the same sex.
Oh, yeah, that was a big thing. That was a huge, huge issue then.
Right. They, I mean, many service members feared being outed just for the simple fact of being outed. But then there was the punishments included, you know, dishonorable discharge. Oh, gosh, I cannot talk tonight. They were being court-martialed, and they were even going to prison over this.
Oh, yeah, and they were taking, they were having their rights taken away for their children as well. Like, it was...
Right.
Like, even, I mean, everything they could possibly do to chastise people, they were definitely doing it.
For being them.
Yeah.
Right. Directly after being honorably discharged, because everything was still a secret, she took up photography and went to photography school in New Haven. So, her and her father actually built a black room to develop film because they were into that together. And not only that, but her dad was a carpenter by trade. So we'll talk about that later on in the story, which is actually really fantastic. And of course, photography is a hit or miss profession, so she had to find something. And she dabbled in dentistry. So she went to school to be a dental assistant in New York City.
Oh, yuck. That's like, why would you choose that?
Well, you had to do something, I guess. And what's crazy, though, is once, like later on down in the story, one of the students that she was friends with actually helped her to get her final transformation, because the person that she confided in, her husband, I believe it was, ended up doing the surgery. So it was very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So finally, she just took into books. I mean, where the hell else are you going to find information? The internet definitely did not fucking exist. So you go to the library, try to find something to explain what the hell you're feeling. I'm lost. I don't know what to do. You don't know if you're able to talk to someone at that time without getting judged or chastised in any way. So,
for sure. I've been there. I feel that, you know.
Right. She's just looking for some fucking answers, man. So she found a book called The Male Hormone by Paul de Cruyff. And this book is nonfiction. It's a scientific novel that the author himself tells a story about male hormones in all aspects, not only sexual, but other mental, physical, and emotional things that testosterone contributes to the male body. So this was an all-around good book to just understand what testosterone's doing to her body at the time.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's still available. That book is still available. I don't know if anyone's interested in reading about testosterone at all, but I looked it up because I wasn't sure. The first copy I found was like $200. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
I don't need to know about testosterone that bad.
Right, he's taxing over there. Taxing.
But maybe somebody does. So in 1950, Jorgensen traveled to Denmark to begin the long process to transition, and it starts with hormone replacement therapy, which we also know someone more recently came out and said they went through hormone replacement therapy at a very, very young age, and if anybody doesn't know who that is, they're living under a rock. Nikki Tutorials.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she definitely did that at a very young age.
Which how young was she? I knew she was young, but I don't know offhand.
I think she was like in eighth grade, maybe.
Oh, wow. So they, yeah. And I think that that one TLC show, the one about jazz or whatever, I believe she started really, really young as well. Mm-hmm. Might have been around that same age.
Right. So this, for going through the motions and trying to figure out if this is actually right, 1950, I mean, this took a little while, right? Just to realize, okay, I'm just going to do it. To hell with the consequences. I need to be who I am inside, on the outside too. So good on them, because that takes, pardon me saying it, but it takes some balls.
Yeah.
So the process took a few years, obviously, but in 1952, while in Copenhagen, at the hospital recovering from surgical processes, just to remove the male genitalia, not to do the whole vaginoplasty or none of that, word traveled so fast. In the United States, they were writing articles, huge news in the U.S. Oh, my God.
Like they didn't have shit else to talk about or what? Come on.
Oh, yeah. No. One headline read, Bronx boy is now a girl. And another one wrote, from G.I. Joe to G.I. Jane. So you can see how, like, that was, like, super hyped up.
God, that's so disgusting.
And what's even crazier is I looked through article. I didn't read the autobiography, which I want to, but I didn't get a chance to. I don't know if she got stripped of her rank and everything in the military or not, because it doesn't really say.
Hmm. But I don't know.
I'd be curious to know. I might look that up and then give you guys an update, because I'm not sure. But she returned home in 1955 after recovering from all the hormone replacement therapies, surgeries, you know, all that. It takes a lot of recovery time. She was greeted by a sea of people as soon as she got off the airplane. And what's even crazier is the Danish royal family was on the same airplane, and no one could give a shit if they were on that plane or not. No one was looking at them. They didn't greet them at all. They were just concerned about Christine coming off that airplane. What does she look like? You know, what? How much has she changed? Facial features, body, you know, I mean,
oh God.
You name it.
How terrifying for her at that time. Right,
and everybody, for the most part, was very inquisitive, you know, because they just want to know.
Right.
And let's not say this person was the first person to be transgender, because this is not new during this time. But this was like widely known, just because she eventually became an entertainer. So she is quoted as saying, as you can see, I have changed a great deal, but it is the other changes that are so much more important. Remember the shy, miserable person who left America? Well, that person is no more, and as you can see, I'm in marvelous spirits. So now,
nice. Good for her.
She feels the way that she's felt inside for so long on the outside, and it's like it's almost relieving in a way.
Yeah, that's super liberating, for sure.
Right. So the surgeon that removed her male genitals and guided her through hormone replacement therapy, his name was Dr. Christian Hamburger. So to pay homage to the person that made all this happen, that's why she came up with the name Christine, to name herself after him for making all this possible.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, and I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, okay, here's so many people. This is one of the number one questions that was asked a lot of times. Can we see it?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, no. Rude, first of all.
Oh, my God.
It don't matter what year it is.
Right, no kidding.
No, bitch, you can't.
Yeah, check out my OnlyFans. Hold on.
Right, what the Venmo? Fuck, bro? You gotta pay. So that's what she said. You know what? If you want to see who I am and you want to talk about me, you're going to have to pay for it.
Like, good for you, sis. Good for you. Right? Yeah.
So the surgically created vagina didn't come around until a few years later while residing in the United States. So the bulk of the work was done overseas, but that was the final transformation. And here's the carpenter thing I was going to tell you. Her father was a carpenter. And after her final surgery was complete, meaning the vaginoplasty, the house he built for her was finally finished. So he built his daughter a house.
Nice.
Which was cool. Yeah.
Yay, Dad.
Go, Dad.
Right.
So she was just shocked that so many people wanted to talk to her and interview her and just... She didn't realize that she was going to be in the limelight so much from this, just for wanting to be herself, basically.
Right, yeah.
And with newspaper headlines such as XGI becomes blonde beauty, how could you not be curious, you know?
That's crazy. At least it was like, at least, I mean, you're not done yet, so I hope this is a positive story. It sounds like it's...
Positive-ish,
it but is. I don't know. I'm always still weary. I'm always still weary.
There isn't positivity without some negative in there. And you know, people are right. Just, some people just ain't having it. Sis, they ain't having it. And
oh, yeah.
here you go. People were most curious about the surgery and the steps it takes to reassign a gender. So when the doctor released statements saying that she did not have female organs yet, everything else was removed. People started calling her a fraud because they were under the assumption that everything was done. Like, let's see your vag, girl. Come on now. We want to see it. Like, how does that work? How do you just put something in someone like that, you know? And right. A lot of people, you're just not educated. People don't teach you about stuff like that. So how are you supposed to know? And now they know those parts weren't part of the procedures that took place in Denmark. So a lot of supporters of her, like, yay, you know, good for you. They felt betrayed. They said she was an altered male and a morbid transvestite and all this other, like, oh, really nasty. Yeah.
Here it is. And, here it is.
And they just shunned her. And it's like, you know, What do you do? What do you say? You can't say anything but just move on with your life, right?
Right.
So, Dr. Joseph Angelo and Dr. Harry Benjamin, they finally did the vaginoplasty. So they did it in the United States. And actually, Joseph Angelo, he credits all of his advancements in science and education to Christine. Because without her, he would have never gotten the grants. He would have never gotten the education. He would have never gotten to perform the surgery as far as he knew. So he accredits a lot of his success and everything to her, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
She became an entertainer and a nightclub performer. And the majority of the performances, they were at Freddy's Supper Club on Manhattan's East Side, singing an original ballad, I Enjoy Being a Girl.
Nice.
And it's available on iTunes.
I'm going to have to listen to it. It's
still there. Yeah, I listened to it. It's, you know, I mean, it's the 1950s. You know right. How it sounds.
Right.
At the end of her act, she made an impromptu costume change into a Wonder Woman costume. But Warner Communications, who owned rights to Wonder Woman, told her to knock that shit off.
Yeah, I bet they did.
We're not having none of that, right? So what did she end up doing? She created Superwoman. Superwoman was her original design with a big S on the back of her cape. And that's what she transformed into at the end of her shows. And
oh, shit.
It worked out great. And ain't nobody said shit to her.
Right. Hell yeah.
She also performed a couple times in Hollywood. Once at the Backlot Theater next to Studio One. Hey. And once at the Frog Pond Restaurant, which sounds like something I would be into because I love frogs.
Yeah. Like, did you make that shit up? No, I'm just kidding.
Hell fucking no, man. I saw it in a few articles that I read, so I know it's real.
Right.
So she also got paid, of course, to tell her story to different media outlets, American Weekly magazine being just one of many, many people interviewed her. And of course, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to?
Right, absolutely.
Becoming part of the public eye and being a performer was the only way she can actually make a decent living. Because a lot of people they were still very close-minded, as you know. I mean, it's just the sign of the times. What are you going to do? She wanted to become a Hollywood actress, but it just didn't pan out. So let's talk about her love life, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really not that bad, honestly. I thought it was going to be like, oh, shit, she's single forever. She's, woe is her. It wasn't like that at all. People loved her. I don't know if it was her, you know, witty charm and directness with people or what, but they just absolutely adored her. So she was engaged twice.
Nice.
But both times she was denied a marriage license because her birth certificate says male.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So to add insult to injury, when the employer of one of the men she was with found out about it, they fired him on the spot. Absolutely not. I know. That's shitty.
That is shitty.
I don't think that she thought she was going to get as much attention as she did, but, you know, it was just something new. It was something different. Everybody wanted to know, you know, are you a man into a female, into males or into females? Like, how does that work? Who are you into? I mean, people had so many questions, and some of them just went unanswered, actually, because it ain't none of your fucking business.
Right. It's definitely not.
This prompted her to write her autobiography. And the autobiography is titled, as it should, Christine Jorgensen, A Personal Autobiography. There you go.
Short, sweet, to the point.
Boom. If you want to know, look it up. Here you go. When it was published, she received plenty of letters, good and bad, obviously. But there were a lot of people who felt the same way she did, asking for help and guidance because they didn't have anywhere else to turn. And she said she really wishes that she could help everybody that wrote letters to her, but she just couldn't. I was like, oh, that's so sweet.
I know.
She lectured at colleges to talk about gender identity and gender dysphoria. In the 1970s film, The Christine Jorgensen Story, she went on set to meet with actors that portrayed her. And I'm going to post a picture on Instagram of her next to the actor that played her when she was in the military. And I have another portrait that I'm going to post on Instagram, too, because it's fantastic. It's like, you know, the typical glamour shot, really like hazy, kind of, you know, like a cream colored. It's actually really pretty.
Oh, yeah. Her pictures are gorgeous. I said I wasn't going to look up her story, but I definitely looked at her pictures and she's gorgeous. Good for her.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, on May 3rd, 1989, she passed away from bladder and lung cancer. And, you know, cancer does not fucking discriminate, I'll tell you that.
No, it doesn't.
She lived her true, real life and inspired so many people to have the discussion about gender identity and gender dysphoria, inspiring so many that struggled as she did to ask for answers to the questions they had about themselves in general. And she was being quoted as being one of the founding members of the sexual revolution. She's quoted in saying, "I am very proud now, looking back, that I was on the street corner 36 years ago when a movement started. It was the sexual revolution that was going to start with or without me. We may not have started it, but we gave it a good swift kick in the pants."
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
So later in the 2000s, we're still talking about her. She was inducted into the Legacy Walk in 2012, which is an outdoor public display which celebrates LGBTQ plus history and people. In 2014, she was an inaugural honoree in the Rainbow Honor Walk in San Francisco's Castro neighborhood.
Nice.
Yeah. And if anybody doesn't know, this is a walk that honors LGBTQ plus people who made significant strides in their fields. And last but certainly not least, in 2019, she was one of the 50 American pioneers, trailblazers, and heroes included on the National LGBTQ plus Wall of Honor at the Stonewall National Monument in New York City's Stonewall Inn. So,
oh, hell yeah.
Pictures up there. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. That warms my heart.
Yeah. See, it had a great ending. And she, yeah. Once you hear that song, I wanted to try to use part of it in like a sound bite or something and post it on Instagram and Facebook. But I just couldn't find anything that was like, you know, able to be used.
Right.
I'm like, damn it. But if you got a chance, go on iTunes and listen to it, man. It's interesting. It was almost like an entertainment, like novelty, fun, camp. Like, it's a feel-good song. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think you'll enjoy it.
I probably will, and that'll be the most dramatic thing I do for next week, because I'll probably cry. You know me. I'm like, oh.
Right. So, in short, that is her story.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear her story. I'm glad that I didn't look anything up and I got to just hear it.
Right, yeah.
I'm glad it had a pretty happy ending, too. I mean, at least as happy as it could, I think.
Right, right. And, you know, with all of this, even as progressive as we are now, people still get ridiculed for shit like this all the time. And that's something that those behaviors are learned. They're not, absolutely. You're not born with those.
Yep.
So let that be a lesson to yous.
For sure.
And that is her story. So I don't know, man. If any of you guys out there have a story, still waiting for stories. Type us up one, send it our way. DramaticIllusionPodcast@gmail.com. It's still active. I just don't know why you guys are so shy.
I know. We just need one to pop the cherry. Who's going to pop the cherry? Hmm.
Right. We'll see.
Yeah. Also, hit us up on Apple Podcasts. Like and give us 5 stars. Write a comment in there. Say, "You're not getting my fucking cherry." I don't know. Say something. We're here for it. Whatever you want to do. Yeah, just scoop us up that algorithm so we can get some more listeners. If you guys enjoy hearing this, we want to get the other people that like to hear it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, of course, we got a Facebook, Dramatic Illusion Podcast, Instagram, The Dramatic Illusion Podcast. We post stuff on there all the time. Almost all the time. I don't want to say all the time. Almost all the time. And last but not least, our Speakeasy page. It's mostly meme-centric. You know, we throw a couple polls in there and what have yous, but all in all, amazing, amazing people in there. Come join the speakeasy. We'll give you the password.
Yeah, see, Brazza even is saying join it.
Yes.
I heard her in
Yeah, can you hear her? She's been nuts since I got home from work. And with that being said, don't forget to be original.
Stay dramatic. And as always, we'll see you next Tuesday.